Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministries, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, The Day of Reunion in Heaven. What will it be like?
Well, as you all know, week ago Thursday, my dad went home to be with God in glory. And I was so super blessed by God to be able to be there with him and with my sisters and with my mom as he departed this world. And I can't even believe I'm saying that because he's been such a huge part of my life. We've always called ourselves pals forever. And it's so hard to not have my dad here present to just call him and joke like we always joke. I mean, like I did something stupid on the boat recently with the engine, and I always joke with him, and he always jokes because he doesn't have much mechanical understanding as well. And I'm like, I can't joke with him. Oh, it's so tough. But at the same time, it was such a super blessing to be there because, you know, he departed and finished his race in the faith. And I have great hope for where he is with God in heaven. And so I'd like to talk with you today about the great hope that we have as Christians, not only of our salvation, but of being able to see our loved ones again that have departed in the faith on a day of happy reunion in the future. Is there such a thing? Do we have that sort of comfort as Christians when we lose a loved one in this world and they depart, that we have a happy day of a joyful reunion with them again above, and that we're going to see actually their faces and be able to continue on with our relationship? Or is it as the unbelievers would say, and just say, it kaput, it's over, just forget it, and be in sorrow? Well, let's talk about the great hope of the Christian today and what God tells us in his word, because he's got a great word for us. First, let's just consider about God's presence with us when we do lose a loved one that departs in the faith. And I know you've all had people that you love that have departed this world. What kind of comfort does God give us? Well, remember in John chapter 11, Jesus is going to basically a funeral or the grave of a dead man with Lazarus. And both sisters, Mary and Martha, run to Jesus. When Mary gets there, she's the second one to go. She runs and falls at his feet, and weeping, she cries out, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. She's weeping, and Jesus sees her so. And the Jews that came with her, they're also crying. And we read in the scriptures, Jesus was deeply moved in spirit. Think about that. His spirit was just incredibly troubled by this. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. And we read that Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse in all of scripture, verse 35. Jesus cried. He cried. I'm going to raise you in about 10 minutes, Lazarus, but I'm weeping because I'm caring for my people. So that comforts me when I think of all the tears I shed this last week and a half ago with my dad and all the ones that you've shed, that, you know, Jesus mingles his tears with ours, makes them holy. When we have a loved one depart, he cares so greatly and so deeply for us in that. I want you to know that today. That's the first thing God wants you to know. I am with you in your pain. I'm deeply troubled by this too, and I care. I care more than you know. Yes, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, says Psalm 116. But let's ask, is there any hope though? Are we just crying and that's it? Or is there a hope that you're going to get to see your loved ones again who've departed before you to God? Are we going to see them up there and see their faces again? Is there a happy reunion for us with them? Well, let's take a look at also that story of Lazarus when Martha came. She was the first one to get to Jesus. And she also said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And Jesus, notice these words, very good cheer. I'm sure he said it. He says, your brother will rise again. That's great. And she says, well, Lord, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was coming into the world. So think about that good word, that if you believe in Jesus, death can't actually touch you, only your body, but you will live because he's the Savior. What is the good hope and the great hope that we have as Christians? That my dad and your departed ones who left this world in Christ are not actually dead, okay? They are alive. Jesus says, death can't touch you if you're in me. Its power can't only touch your body, but not your spirit. And your body too I will raise at the last day. Look at these words. I shared with my dad so many times, just whispering into his ear, God so loved the world. God so loved you, Dad, that he gave his only begotten son, that you believing on him should not perish, but have eternal life. Guys, Jesus came for the very purpose of getting rid of death for us, to save us from that and rescue us, to give us life. So my dad, I believe, and I confess to you today, he's alive with God in heaven. He departed in the faith. Where do our loved ones go, by the way, when they die? I mean, they disappear over the horizon for us, but where are they? Well, 1 Peter 3:18, I've said this so many times, you know it. Christ died for sins once for all, says Peter, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. Would you say those words with me? Bring us to God. Say, bring us to God. That's a location shift change. Bring, carry us, you and me, to, namely to a location, where? To God, where he is. Isn't that a great place to go? Where is God? He's up above. He's Mount Zion, you could call it, in the far north, the city of the great king. He is above the firmament, above the waters, above the firmament. He's up at the highest place. That's where you go, according to the Bible, if you're a Christian. Philippians 1, my desire is to depart, says Paul, and to be with Christ, for that's far better. So what happens when you die? According to Scripture, death for a Christian is not death. It's actually just departure. Better word to use, by the way. Just use the word departure. My departure is coming up. That's the way we talk. It's just a door. It's a highway home. 2 Corinthians 5, yes, we are of good courage, says Paul. We would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we go to our home. We go to God, and to depart here is to be with Christ, where he is up there at the right hand of God in glory, in the kingdom of light. It's a real place, by the way. God lives there. That's where his dwelling place is. And where is that again? It's up. Okay, you're not going down, you're going up if you depart as a Christian. Hebrews 12 describes it as the city of God, Mount Zion, with innumerable angels, more than you can count, in festal gathering, to the place where there are the spirits of just men, Christians, made perfect up there, to God's holy city, to Christ, the mediator of a new covenant, whose blood speaks more graciously than the blood of Abel to save your soul. So we're kind of like ships. Here's a picture of a ship I keep on my desk, a sailing ship. When our loved ones depart, they sail over the horizon and disappear over the horizon. They're out of sight, right? Does that mean they die? They perish because we can't see them anymore? They've somehow sunk in the fathomless depths? No, it just means that they're out of sight now over the horizon, and the crew's still alive. They've just arrived at a new port, a new country. My dad, I believe, being a Christian, dying in Christ, is now just departed. He's sailed over the horizon to a new country, one where I'm soon to go to, according to God's timing of things, a new port. Isn't that great? Isn't this good news? In my Father's house are many rooms. If it weren't so, Jesus says, why would I have told you that I'd go to prepare a place for you? I'm preparing a place in there, in that new country, that new port, that you're going to go to. That's great. So the body dies. So my dad's body is returned to dust, and is returning to dust, sleeps in the earth. But his spirit, I know where it is. It's at God, with God in heaven with Christ. That is a word of comfort, I tell you, to me. That's a word of great hope to me and cheer in a time when I'm in great sorrow. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, we Christians, we grieve the loss of loved ones, but not as unbelievers. They don't have any hope. If you're an unbeliever and you depart, well, you just go to darkness and damnation. That's not a good thing. That's a subject for another sermon. But I'm talking Christians today. We grieve, but not without hope. We have great hope. great hope for Christians through Christ are brought at our departure from this world up to God. Say the word up. Isn't up much better than down? It's up. That's where we go. That's the great hope. And we have great hope of seeing them again. Paul says also in 1 Thessalonians 4 that the body too, it's not done. That the Lord Jesus will himself will descend from heaven at the cry of command, at the archangel's cry. You know, on the last day, with the sound of the trumpet of God. And down he'll come. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, still alive on this earth at the coming of the Lord, shall be caught up to meet them as they're coming down in the clouds. And Paul says, we'll meet the Lord in the air. And so, listen carefully, he says, so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Think about that. Therefore, because of this, we, that is, all of us together, we shall always, forever, be, the word be means you're going to be alive, we shall always be with the Lord. That's the greatest, to see Jesus. But it's also we together will do this. Therefore, comfort one another, says the apostle, in this good hope. You have comfort that you're going to get to see your loved ones again. This is the salvation of Christ for us and for all our loved ones who believe in him. We'll see them again. And I tell you, I believe I'm going to see my dad again. There is a day of reunion, joyful, not too far away. So I take great comfort in that. Great hope. But are we going to recognize each other when we actually get there, get up to the world to come and into heaven? You know, is it going to be like, who are you? Oh, who are you? Oh, you are my dad. I don't know who you are. And you're my son. Who are you? I don't know. Is that the way it works? You know, sometimes we have that idea. Like, it's like, we're just, this world is over. Our slates are wiped clean and we don't know each other. But is that the way it really works? Are we going to know and remember each other? Will you? Well, let's see. Luke 24. Remember, when Jesus was raised from the dead, he's walking, or two disciples are walking along a road to Emmaus. And Jesus, we read, comes up and starts walking with them on the road to Emmaus. But their eyes, says the scriptures, were kept from recognizing him. In other words, if he hadn't blinded them and concealed his identity, they would have been like, oh, Jesus! But no, he covered it up because he wanted to ask them a few questions, test their hearts, unveil and unfold the scriptures to them. But then a little bit later, when he's at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized Jesus, and he vanished out of their sight. Woo! What an exciting time that must have been. But notice, did they recognize Jesus? Yes. Did they remember him? Did he remember them? Did they pick up their relationship where they'd been left off the other day when he was crucified? Absolutely, friends. They and we will recognize Jesus there. All right, but what about each other? Are we going to recognize each other? Or is that just Jesus? Are we going to recognize our fellow believers and loved ones who've departed before us? Well, check out this scripture. Remember Matthew 17 when Jesus takes Peter and James and John with him and they go up a mountain apart and he's praying and he's changed fearfully before them. Dazzling white he appears. And shining with glory. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And Peter wakes up and, Lord, it's good that we're here. Let me make three booths. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. What's strange about that scripture to you? Peter never met Moses, never met Elijah, and yet he knew them. He recognized them. Moses lived 1,500 years before Peter. Elijah lived 800 years before Peter, and yet Peter's like, that's Moses, and that's Elijah, with you, Jesus. Friends, my point here is if he recognized them, even though he had never met them, how much more will you recognize in heaven those loved ones whom you have known before? That's a word of good cheer from God and great hope to you today. You're going to see him again. But will we remember? Will we really remember our lives down here with him? Or is that just like, let's start over, you know, new start? Or are we picking up where we left off and remembering everything and our relationships with him and continuing them? Well, according to Scripture, guess what? When you die, you still remember this world, and you remember your life. Can I prove that to you? Remember Matthew 25, when Jesus comes in his glory, the king, and he sits on his glorious throne, and he gathers all the nations as a shepherd, and then he separates the sheep from the goats, the righteous at his right hand, the goats at his left. And then he speaks to those at his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And he says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me, sick and in prison, etc., and you visited me." And then what do the righteous do on that side? They're standing over there at the resurrection, and they're like, Jesus, when did we see? We don't remember seeing you. We remember doing these kinds of things to other people, but we don't remember seeing you there. And Jesus says, "As you did it to the least of these, I, the king, count that as if you did it to me. Enter into the joy of your master. Come inherit the kingdom." But notice, when you're resurrected at the last day, it's not like you're like, a zombie, like, who am I? What am I doing here? How did I get here? You're like, you still have files. You still have memory. In fact, I'd say you're probably remembering better than you ever did, because your flesh is not hindering you. Your weakness, you're sharp as a tack. You're remembering my life. I remember doing this and this and this. I just don't remember seeing you, Jesus. Jesus says, "I was there in that you did it to one of the least of these. You did it to me." So notice, we can remember our lives at the resurrection here on earth. We can remember our past. We can remember those we ministered to. We can remember people. So we can recall this life when we get to heaven and at the resurrection. Do you think Dad in heaven is recalling and can remember his life here? Whether he wants to or not, I don't know, because it's probably pretty great up there, but so much clearer, I believe. But will we know and remember our family members, those we love in heaven? Well, I can answer that one by the word too. Jesus taught us about the afterlife in the story, Luke 16, of Lazarus and the rich man. Remember that story? Lazarus and the rich man? "This poor man died," says Jesus, "Lazarus, and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, being in torment. He lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus there to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm in anguish in this flame,' he cries. But Abraham said, 'Child, remember.'" Could you say the word remember?
Remember.
He's supposed to remember. He can remember. He does remember. "Remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus, in like manner, evil things. But now he's comforted here, and you are in anguish." Let me ask you, when this wicked man died, and he's in Hades, in the fires there, did he know Abraham? Yes. Did he remember his life? Yes. Did he know Lazarus by name? Yes, he did. How about, though, his family? Well, the next line, "Then I beg you, Father Abraham, to send Lazarus to my father's house. For I have," present tense, "five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." So notice there, he remembered his family on earth at the time he was down there while they're still living on earth. Let me ask you, that's the wicked. How much more the righteous remember their loved ones, you and me, on earth, while they're there, that they have a son down here, a brother, a daughter, a husband, etc., that they remember you. Isn't that a good word for you? About the ones that have departed, they still remember you and they still love you. What are the three things that abide? 1 Corinthians 13. Faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Why is that the greatest? Well, faith is amazing, but you know, you don't need that one forever. When you get to heaven, you see God, you don't need faith anymore, because faith believes what you can't see. So that's great, but you don't need it forever. Hope, well, you don't need that one forever either, because eventually you're going to get what you've hoped for. That one you won't need anymore, as great as it is. It goes in the trash, if you will, in a sense, or put it laid aside. But love, that abides forever. Love never ends. My dad in heaven still loves me. I still love him from here. And your loved ones love you still, remember you, and love you, I'd say, frankly, better than they did on earth. because down here we always got the sin nature to deal with. Up there, that's removed. They love you even more. Wow, this is great news, God. Thank you. So to what then could we liken our departed loved ones in Christ? Well, I would say marathon runners. You know, the Christian life is likened to a race. We run a long, hard race down here. At the last, we enter into the stadium, and we start running around the stadium, and we cross the ribbon into the finish line, into Jesus' arms, and a big smile, and he restores us. But, you know, they are like runners who have finished their race, and now they get into the stands of the stadium, cheering us on. For we who are still running our races on the earth, go, keep running, and finish your race as we finished ours. And at the finish line, we will greet you with arms of joy. So really, there's not that much difference between Christians alive here and alive in heaven. We're running the race. They've finished the race. They're in the stands. We're still on the track. They are above their enemies and resting in triumph. We're still running the race, fighting the enemies and conquering. And we are all in Jesus Christ. And one day, very soon, because life is short, we're going to finish our races too and get to see them where they are. We also shall come to that place and we'll see them again. At our departure up to that great city in the clouds, that great stadium, that great place for champions, that place of God's home on high in the great peaks of glory. So as I told my dad when he was departing, I kept whispering in his ear encouragements as he crossed the River Jordan. Big swim, difficult several days, but I was like, Dad, you have a bright future. This isn't the end. This is just the start of a great, bright new future God has for you in Christ, and we're looking forward to it. I can't wait to enjoy that with you. Hebrews 12, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, like in the stands cheering us on, thunderous applause and cheers, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run our races with perseverance that's set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and he is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So great hope, friends, great hope, promises of God to see your loved ones again with joy and rejoicing. But what awaits us at our race's end? What's it going to be like on the day of happy, joyful reunion with those we love who have departed in Christ? Well, Psalm 16, David says, thou dost show me the path of life. In thy presence, God, there is fullness of joy. In thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. You know, when I memorized that verse years ago, I just picture like a rainbow coming off of God's hand, pouring golden coins upon us. Thousands and ten thousands of joys await you. A bright future. Like what? Well, crowns will be given to you and your loved ones in the kingdom. I fought the good fight, says Paul, finished the race, kept the faith. Therefore, henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. You want to wear a crown? Paul calls it a crown of righteousness. James calls it a crown of life. Peter calls it a crown of glory. Isaiah calls it a crown of everlasting joy. I used to wonder, how can you be joyful forever? Well, don't worry, God will make sure. It's a crown of everlasting joy. We'll be granted to sit with Christ, together with our loved ones, on his throne, in power, in the world to come. For he who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, says Jesus, as I myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. You looking forward to that one, friends? How about to eat with your loved ones again? Sit at table with them. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. We'll get to sit at the King's own table and eat with him and drink with him and our loved ones in the worlds to come with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, says Jesus. So it's a great future. It is a bright future when you depart this world, and our foretaste today in the Lord's Supper is at that table here and there, a closeness with our departed loved ones. You know, they're not so very far away from us as we think. Very close in the Lord's Supper. And new bodies shall be given to us and our loved ones, raised in power made super, better than Superman. He could still be killed with kryptonite. But you're going to be shining in glory. Lo, I tell you a mystery, says Paul. We're not all going to sleep, but all be changed. Say the word changed. Changed. Looking forward to that one? Changed. Changed. Changed, says Paul. To be, let's read it here. You're going to be changed from one degree of glory to another. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you're going to be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. Perishable to imperishable, weak to powerful, in dishonor into glory, raised in power. And we're God's children even already, says St. John in his letter. But it doesn't yet appear what we're going to be like. But we know that when Jesus appears, we're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Can you imagine my dad or your son or your husband or wife shining with a body like Christ's own, resurrected in shining glory? Jesus promises, the righteous shall shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And Daniel, it's promised, like the stars forever and ever. And you're going to be like, wow, is that you? And you're going to be like, and is that you? Whoa, what a change. Marvelous, amazing, and great for a great and amazing new world. For God's going to give you a new world, friends. That's what's the bright future before us and our loved ones in Christ, where all will sit with Christ and all will be set right by him forever in a world of life and joy and happiness forever, better than we've ever experienced on the earth in the world to come. And in that day, God says, even if you could remember this former life, and you can if you wanted to, you won't even want to do that. Because it won't even come to mind for the joy that is before you. Isaiah 66, 65 says, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, says God. The former things, they won't even be remembered or come to mind. Not that you can't remember them, but yet, why would you want to? Because you're going to be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, says God. For behold, look, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. That's what God has in store for you. That's the bright future. That's the happy day of joyful reunion. That is the great hope and the comfort of the Christian when our loved ones depart in this world. Just for a little while, you'll see them again. And so today, if you're grieving the loss of a loved one like I am, oh, believe me, a husband, a wife, a dad, a mom, son, brother, sister, friends who have departed in Christ, God says, be of good cheer. Very soon, soon and very soon, I'm going to dwell with man, and I'll be with them. I'll be with you. I'll be your God. You'll be my people, and I'm going to take every one of those tears and wipe them away from you. I'm going to take away from you all of your sorrows, every crying, every pain, every mourning, crying and pain, that'll be gone, and I'm going to get rid of death. You'll never hear of it ever again. And I, who sit upon the throne, look, I will say this. Behold, look, see, I make everything new. That's the world to come. That's the bright future for us as Christians, and that's our hope and joy when our loved ones depart in Christ. We will see them again. So we'll conclude with this good word from Jesus. John 16, he says, so you have sorrow now, but I'll see you again. And when I do, your hearts will rejoice. And on that day, no one will ever be able to take your joy from you ever again. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called The Day of Reunion in Heaven. What will it be like? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in, and have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul. And God bless you.